Part 4. Delayed Exits from Chapter 11. Julianne Lopez Toledo reports about three Chapter 11 debtors whose emergence from Chapter 11 has been delayed. Tribune Company, W.R. Grace, and Quigley. In Tribune Company's Chapter 11 case, the company announced it got final approval from the Federal Communications Commission to transfer its broadcast licenses to its new owners. The FCC approved the license transfers and granted waivers so the company could keep newspapers and nearby television stations in five markets, including New York. The approval was granted under a procedure that didn't require a vote by the agency's five commissioners. Tribune's chief executive officer, Eddie Hartenstein, said they were, quote, extremely pleased with the FCC action. Mr. Hartenstein said in an email news release that the decision will enable the company to continue moving forward toward emergence from Chapter 11, a process it expects to complete over the course of the next several weeks. FCC Commissioner Ajit Pai was also pleased with the approval, saying it facilitates Tribune's exit from bankruptcy, grants the company permanent waiver in the Chicago market, and allows it to maintain its newspaper-based broadcast combinations in New York, Los Angeles, Miami-Fort Lauderdale, and Hartford-New Haven markets. In a November 16th statement, Mr. Pai said given the financial conditions confronting the newspaper industry, companies that continue to operate daily newspapers should be applauded rather than saddled with artificial and outdated regulatory burdens. The approval is one of the two steps Tribune needs to emerge from bankruptcy protection. In July, the company obtained an order from the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the District of Delaware, which confirmed its Chapter 11 plan of reorganization. The court order gave a group of senior creditors control of the Chicago Media Company, which owns the Chicago Tribune, Los Angeles Times, KTLA TV Channel 5, and other media properties. The new owners include JPMorgan Chase & Company and hedge funds Oak Tree Capital Management and Angelo Gordon & Company. New York-based investment fund Aurelius Capital Management LP and other lower-ranking creditors previously filed an appeal to overturn the bankruptcy court's July order. As part of that effort, Aurelius tried unsuccessfully to block Tribune from leaving bankruptcy while the appeal went forward. The appeal is still on file, although both sides said previously in court that once Tribune leaves bankruptcy, the appeal is unlikely to disrupt how the ownership will be divided or change the company's future. Often, bankruptcy appeals are dropped after a company exits Chapter 11 protection because it can be difficult to reverse many of the actions that take place when a bankruptcy case ends. The junior creditors said the settlement of claims, which is part of the restructuring plan, is unreasonable, pointing out that holders of some $2 billion in Tribune debt stand to recover very little under the settlement and are being barred from suing the banks that financed the 2007 leveraged buyout of Tribune. In other developments, Tribune, which owns eight daily newspapers, has approached bankers about selling its papers. The company's owners are seeking an advisor for a possible sale after it exits bankruptcy by December 31st, people with knowledge of the matter said. Selling some of Tribune's papers would raise cash for the company, which also owns 23 television stations and stakes in more than 50 websites. The company is valued at about $7 billion, including publishing, media, and other assets, with $2.06 billion in cash. Rupert Murdoch, chairman and chief executive officer of News Corp, reportedly expressed interest to take a close look at Tribune's newspaper assets. News Corp is splitting into two companies, with one focused on newspapers and publishing. The new company may give Mr. Murdoch more latitude to pursue newspaper acquisitions. In November, Tribune also received a go signal from Delaware bankruptcy judge Kevin Carey to get loans from Bank of America N.A. and other lenders to finance their exit from bankruptcy protection. The loan consists of a senior secured asset-based revolving credit facility of up to $300 million and a senior secured term loan facility of up to $1.1 billion. The $300 million loan will be provided by B of A and a group of lenders to finance Tribune's operations after the effectiveness of its restructuring plan. The $1.1 billion loan will be provided by a syndicate of banks and financial institutions arranged by a group led by J.P. Morgan and will be used to fund cash distributions to creditors. In connection with the financing, Judge Carey also authorized the company to pay certain fees and expenses and furnish indemnities as allowed administrative expenses. On July 23, 2012, the bankruptcy court confirmed Tribune's restructuring plan, which contemplates that the company may, in its discretion, enter into a post-effective date facility. The plan was jointly proposed by the company, the Official Committee of Unsecured Creditors, Oak Tree Capital Management LP, Angelo Gordon & Company LP, and JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A. Tribune filed for bankruptcy 4 years ago. W.R. Grace & Company Chief Executive Officer Fred Festa remains positive on the outcome of the appeals from the company's Chapter 11 plan of reorganization, now pending before the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit. During a conference call on Grace's third quarter financial results in early November, Mr. Festa indicated there are currently 5 appeals pending after 3 appeals were withdrawn as a result of the settlement entered into by Grace and claimants relating to asbestos claims in Libby, Montana. Mr. Festa added that they are in the middle of the briefing schedule, which will be completed by year-end. The Third Circuit is expected to hear oral arguments in the first quarter of 2013. Grace projects that it could complete its reorganization by the end of 2013 if the proceedings on the appeals conclude as scheduled. Mr. Festa emphasized that Grace's Chapter 11 proceeding was not and will not be a hindrance for its strategic plans and business operations. He added that the fourth quarter of 2013 is the most realistic timing for mergers. He, however, pointed out that the only real impact the Chapter 11 has is on the company's ability to return cash to shareholders. Grace has been in Chapter 11 protection for more than 11 years since it delivered its petition to the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the District of Delaware on April 2, 2001. A district court approved its reorganization plan earlier this year, clearing a major hurdle for it to emerge from bankruptcy protection. The plan was reaffirmed in June, but 8 parties filed notices of appeal before a July 11th deadline. Quigley Company's parent, Pfizer Inc., is asking the U.S. Supreme Court to review a federal appeals court's ruling that allows certain asbestos-related lawsuits against the company because Quigley was the main target of the suits and it went through bankruptcy reorganization. The ruling by the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit, quote, frustrates the congressional purposes of the law written to deal with asbestos-related bankruptcies, Pfizer said in its petition for a writ of certiorari. The law offices of Peter G. Angelos have been pushing for the courts to allow the suits. The Supreme Court requested November 6th that the Angelos firm file a response by December 6th. In April, the Second Circuit said Pfizer can face suits over asbestos-containing products made by its unit Quigley Company. The products included Insulag, an asbestos-containing insulation, which Quigley made from the 1930s until the 1970s. Quigley, which Pfizer bought in 1968, at one time faced suits by more than 160,000 plaintiffs and had filed for bankruptcy in 2004. Pfizer made no asbestos-containing products of its own. The Angelos firm argued, however, that Pfizer was liable because it put its logo on some advertisements for Quigley products, identifying both companies as manufacturers of the asbestos-containing products. In 2008, the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the Southern District of New York enjoined the claims. It said Pfizer's alleged liability arose from its ownership of Quigley, and the claims must be channeled toward the trust created out of the bankruptcy. The U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York reversed the bankruptcy court and the Second Circuit affirmed. In its petition for certiorari, Pfizer says the question of whether the suit should be enjoined is crucial to the resolution of asbestos-related bankruptcies. The company says the issues presented concern the scope of asbestos channeling injunctions under 11 U.S.C. Section 524G, which directly impacts the funding, disposition, and finality of nearly every asbestos-related Chapter 11 case nationwide. Pfizer says if the Second Circuit's ruling stands, corporate parents will be discouraged from contributing the funds needed to make Section 524G trusts effective for compensating asbestos victims. The company says Congress enacted Section 524G to encourage companies in Pfizer's position to contribute assets to asbestos bankruptcy trusts, quote, in exchange for a broad channeling injunction. Pfizer says the High Court should grant the petition and reverse the Second Circuit's judgment. Last month, Quigley asked bankruptcy judge Stuart M. Bernstein to extend the voting deadline on its Chapter 11 plan by 2 weeks, saying Hurricane Sandy's aftermath has disadvantaged creditors in the Northeast who have requested more time. Quigley asked Judge Bernstein to extend the deadline by which holders of claims against it must vote to accept or reject its fifth amended plan of reorganization from November 16th to November 30th. Quigley, in bankruptcy since 2004, filed the sixth version of its plan June 29th. And obtained Judge Bernstein's permission to have creditors vote on the draft plan on August 15th. Under the draft plan, Pfizer would contribute assets to a trust to cover claims that Quigley's past products caused asbestos-related injuries. The Troubled Company Reporter provides detailed reporting about every Chapter 11 filing nationwide. Stay tuned to learn more about obtaining a trial subscription to the TCR at no cost or obligation. That concludes Part 4 of the report. The report concludes in Part 5.